We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love, a couple with children, a couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survived.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Missus.
Hi, Mooch. Turn your mic on, dork.
I'm in my eighth day of keto. My wife is making fun of me. My friend Rob Taub is here, also making fun of me.
I don't think the keto's working.
Rob Traub, whatever your fucking name is. Now listen to me. Let me tell you something, Neil. If you fucking make fun of me right now, you're getting your ass fired, okay? I just want to
stop it.
What did I do so far?
He's being so rude.
He needs a Valium for the keto.
For real. I have that at home.
I'm craving carbs, okay? If you're out there, please send fudge to my office, okay?
Something. Fudge is not carbs.
What are you talking about? It's loaded with sugar and fat. It's got everything you want.
And a nice bagel with a lot of butter on it.
I would want like a bowl of like penne vodka. He wants like fudge. He likes sugar.
A toasted bagel right now would go wonders, okay? But you know what happened is I'd blow up like Veruca Salt in Willy Wonka, okay?
I don't know how well this diet's working for you if you're this unhappy, Anthony.
I know.
I've lost 8 pounds and I'm going on the Bill Maher show looking svelte. Look at the cheekbones.
Isn't it svelte, not svelte?
No, it's svelte.
Schvelte?
That's
schmelting. What? No, that's... Schmelting.
Okay, I think Anthony's Yiddish is coming out.
So Rob...
I think so.
Rob and I know each other for, I would say, minimum 25 years.
Exactly. Easily.
Easily.
Since we were little kids.
Newsmax columnist, pundit.
Since before I was born.
A broker for Core Real Estate, but you also do the radio show. Are you still doing the radio show?
I do lots. I have like 5 income streams to maintain my lifestyle.
Great writer. Diabetes advocate.
Yes, I have just started a joint venture with the American Heart Association and the American Diabetes Association called No Diabetes by Heart, and I'm an ambassador, as is Angela Bassett, but we're kind of on an embargo until we debut on Good Morning America at the end of September or the beginning of October.
Okay,
nice.
Good. Awesome. But you have a lot to say about diet, health, exercise, and also big pharma / big food, right?
I mean, I do.
We're making ourselves fat, right? And the sugar lobby destroyed the country, right? They don't even put the amount of carbohydrates on a soda can
exactly.
as a result of the sugar lobby. And so that's the power in Washington. Now, look, the good news now is the NRA is effing bankrupt. So now you'll get some gun control laws because they can't feed these senators and congressmen anymore. But the sugar lobby went after the Obamas. And the Obamas backed down. You remember the whole story, right?
People don't realize how powerful the sugar lobby is. And politicians, and I wrote an article about this for Newsmax, which was, pharma is my friend, so why do so many politicians bash it? It's like in the 70s, we picked the oil companies. That's who the politicians went after. Big oil, they're evil. They never said that gas should be free. So why should our pharmacological prescriptions be free? We can't just... We can't pick an industry and do that. It's unfair. But nobody talks about the sugar lobby because they're too powerful. And what Anthony just said is, if you take 34 grams of sugar and you pile that on a plate and ask people if they'd put that in their food, they'd go no. But that's what's in a can
it's
of Coke.
Actually disgusting.
That's what's in Coke. That's what's in a bottle of Gatorade.
Oh, my God.
But again, on the label, when you look at the label, it'll say 34 grams, but it'll say recommended daily allowance. And it won't tell you because the Obamas wanted to put that on the can, and the sugar lobby kicked their asses in. So what do we have here? We have special interests and lobbyists. I mean, the Boeing planes almost stayed in the air. Okay, Boeing's a very powerful lobbyist. Almost stayed in the air. It was completely embarrassing to the point where they said, okay, probably don't want to kill any more people. We've got to ground the planes. So when is all this going to—
I can see that Anthony's on fire today.
I need carbohydrates. Let's just face it. I need bagels. When are we going to stop this stuff? Is it ever going to stop?
I'm hitting an app right now and sending out for a pizza.
You are? Okay, good. When is this going to stop?
That is a good question. I don't think any time in the near future because the lobbies are too powerful. It's just what our government has evolved into. And we were talking about this in the green room before when Neil and I were having a shrimp cocktail, caviar, no carbohydrates, primarily protein. Is social media is affecting us dramatically too, and it's hard to predict where we're going because it's such a new medium. But there are people that are wresting control and power politically, like AOC, that 30 years ago, if she was a new congressperson, she would be doing bupkis.
No one would even know who she is.
No.
Right. But now she has a voice on a platform.
I don't have time to go with three different names. We'll call her Cortez.
Oh, gosh.
No, he's getting crazier and crazier. We'll talk about him in a second. But so tied into the lobbying, mass shootings. 252 incidents this year. We're into the first week of August. 30 people dead last week. And you say why, Robert?
I say my column in Newsmax is called Centrist Sentiment, so I'm not an ideologue, and I think I take a pretty logical approach. We have two sides that are blaming everybody except for assault weapons. I'm not hearing enough discussion about that right now. Talking about that it's Donald Trump's fault that he's inciting racism and hate. And he's inciting hate.
We just have to say, because we're talking about such a serious topic, I don't want people to think that Rob was laughing and we're putting sound bites.
Anthony just did something terrible.
Yes. He just walked over and squeezed my boob. I love boobs.
He was trying to make me laugh over a serious subject.
No, I wanted to see if he was able to keep his concentration. I'm sorry. Okay.
I just wasn't sure what he was going to do.
Like a cream puff.
I'm
going to
tell my ex-wife Yolanda about this.
Her boob looked like a cream puff to powdered sugar. I went over there. I'm having a keto problem right now.
So let's get back on track a second. My father, who served with distinction in World War II, referred to these kind of weapons as they should be. Military ordnance. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. Mm-hmm. I grew up next to a farm in the little town of Edison, New Jersey, next to the Woodbrook Dairy. And we used to go out with 22 rifles all the time and shoot at just about everything. And I grew up around people that went hunting and owned handguns and shotguns. And I have no problem with that and the right to bear arms, but not military ordnance. Mm-hmm. I just don't see a justification for it.
Agreed. With extra magazines.
What's the and the lobbyists say it's our freedom and let somebody have 100 rounds and shoot grapefruit size holes into our children in schools. That's our freedom.
Yeah, another thing that I find ludicrous is when they say, well, we're going to use it to go deer hunting. Well, if you're going to eat some venison, how are you going to do it when it has a hole in it the size of a bowling ball?
When it's in pieces on the floor. Well, I don't know. I don't have any answers. I don't think any of us have any answers about what the right thing to do is. But as a centrist, I think I'm pretty, middle of the road with most things, like common sense wise. There has to be something better than what we're doing right now. So we don't need military style guns with these bump stocks and all that stuff and these magazines of limitless bullets. And we need better screening of the people. Like the shooter in Dayton, he was a complete lunatic. Everybody who you asked who knew him, I know we could always be Monday morning quarterbacking, but He had like red flags, like it was his job. He was banned from school in high school because he had a rape list and a kill list. And people are aware of that. So why can you go get a gun if you are not even allowed to go to your school for a month because you have a list of people you want to murder? So there's some in between here where we have to really screen people. And there should be a wait. There should be a wait to get these things. And we need to know why you want them and what you're going to use them for.
Well, let me interrupt for a second, though. So why, we're the only country in the world, as far as I know, where you can amass a private arsenal like this kid had, of assault weapons, of military ordnance. Okay, it would be bad enough if he owned a handgun or a shotgun or a rifle, but he owned military ordnance. So how and why are we the only country in the world where people get this?
You have to go back to people that keep talking about the Second Amendment, and that was written when muskets were the thing. So you have to adjust to the times.
I agree.
Yeah. Like, it's not, yes, everybody is entitled to protect themselves and all of that stuff, but we don't need to have these type of weapons. When they wrote that, it was not a threat like it is now. It's not, someone can't go into a bar and kill, nine people with a musket because you have to reload and you have to do all these things. And it
takes like 15 minutes to reload the old muskets.
Right. So that's what everyone's missing. That's why I get so pissed about the Second Amendment thing, because that was so long ago. We have to really get with the times and adjust ourselves and comport and conform ourselves to what we have available to us today. And it's not the same thing. So when people tout the Second Amendment, I'm like, yes, I understand that, but. And that's my argument. And also, I think that we're just sloppy with who we give guns to. It's like someone told us a story. It was supposed to be funny, and it kind of is silly, but it's not funny. Somebody I know went to a Walmart in Georgia, went to buy a hunting rifle because he's a hunter, and he didn't bring his bifocals, so he checked off that he was like a criminal on the sheet that you fill out in the store. And they were like, oh, you checked this box. Are you really a criminal? And they're like, he said, no, I just forgot my glasses. So he was sent home for a day, and then he went back the next day and he filled the freaking thing out again and he got the gun. Like, I don't know. I just don't think there's enough in place to make sure people are using it for things that make sense.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Walmart, because I did a documentary.
It might have been a Dick's. I don't want to give
Okay, well, let's talk about Walmart, though, because Walmart is one of the largest sellers of guns in the country. In 1990, I did a documentary on Walmart and Sam Walton, and we had access to shoot in Walmarts in Texas, which were 220,000 square feet. They were amazingly huge, and they had a whole gun section. And they would do, you'd have somebody going, price check on the milk and price check on that Magnum, please. And you could buy one just as easily as you could buy a loaf of bread at that time. I don't know if the gun laws, this was in Dallas, Texas. The gun laws were very free there. You could buy a handgun very easily, and they were literally in display cases in Walmart. And they're talking now, at least I heard it brought up on the news this morning, that Walmart is going to be challenged to take guns out of their stores.
Mm-hmm. I think that they should be available, but not that available. I mean, you don't need to go in and see it on display like you do a Carvel cake, you know?
Exactly.
It just doesn't need to be glorified. But anyway, that's coming from me. I know everybody has entitled to their own opinion, but I just can't believe that. I was saying to Anthony, that guy, remember the shoe bomber? In 2001 or 2000, one person did that. And we, to this day, take off our shoes every time we go into an airport. There has been tons of these incidents, so many people dead, and we have done nothing. So I'm just curious, what are we doing? Why would we take such action on things that are one-offs, but then repeated incidents.
That's a really good point, by the way. As Anthony takes copious notes,
Sarah Silverman,
he's filling out a shopping list over there.
I'm not going to interrupt.
Yeah, right. He's filling out.
I hear writing so diligently. I think it's like pizza.
I have comments. I want to ask questions about
you. No, he's signing his name over and over again.
Question number one for Rob, and then question number two is for the lovely Deirdre.
Yes,
Mrs. Mooch. Question number one.
Mrs. Mooch.
Is the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, responsible for any of this?
I don't want to point a finger and say that he's responsible, because it's too extreme. Does he promote hate and And anger? Yes, absolutely. But to say that he's directly responsible for a mass murder is just too much of an extreme statement. Okay. And it creates further division.
Okay, so we right. agree. Let me ask Deirdre a question.
I agree
a,
with that.
A group over the weekend of radical Muslims citing and referencing ISIS go into a bar, kill 9 people, or into a Walmart, kill 20 people. And 29 people are dead. What's the response from the President of the United States?
Oh, he would be up in arms, and he would be,
a Muslim band.
Them. Yeah.
And he would be saying terrible things. Okay, so he is a divider, not a uniter.
I don't know him personally well enough to tell somebody if he is or he isn't. I'm assuming that he's not, but I think he's so self-absorbed and so self-centered that he knows that a lot of his base are. So he goes with that because he wants to be reelected, because that's what happens when you become a politician. He ran on saying that he wasn't a politician, but now he is. So he plays to his base, because if you didn't give a shit and you did everything that you said that you were going to do when you were running, which was I'm never going to be that guy, you would say, you would disavow all of these things, white supremacy, hate, violence, all of these things, and you wouldn't stir the pot. Like, if you're going after Elijah Cummings, you look like a racist now, because you're not disavowing these white crazy people, but you're going to go after a black person on Twitter. Like, you have to think that there's something there, something to it, right?
I am the least racist person there is anywhere in the world.
So you tell me, because you know him. What would be the rationale then if you're not going to?
I think that the narcissism now is so full blown that it's not racism, because it's objectivism.
Right. Well, we talked about this. Yes,
so
you're an
object. So he doesn't really care if you're black or white, whether he can be used or not.
Well, then how is that man going to be an effective leader? Anthony, being that you're a titan of industry, I am going to quote another titan of industry. No man will make a great leader who wants to do it all himself or to get all the credit for doing it. As I grow older, I pay less attention to what men say. I just watch what they do. Mm-hmm. Andrew Carnegie said that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
that was a great autobiography.
That's a very true statement.
Arguably one of the best autobiographies of our time, meaning modern era. Benjamin Franklin and Andrew Carnegie, two great self-improvement books. But
Anthony's also, it really nettles me that he's so well-read.
He's very well-read.
I agree with those sentiments, and Reagan had a plaque, which I bought with the lovely wife Deirdre at the Reagan Library.
He keeps using these superlative adjectives.
Were you groping her at the Reagan Library earlier?
I gotta tell you something. I squeezed the right breast, and all of a sudden, it was like, get some class. Look at her, okay, oh my God. Never mind.
That was a soundbite.
I was going to say something very...
Would you say
I was going to say something very outrageous. It would have come across ridiculously sexist. And then Page Six would be lighting me up like they did about my green pea testicles. What I was going to say is I squozed the left...
Squozed?
How do you say it?
Squeezed.
I squeezed the left breast.
Squeezed it in.
And then she spouted out all this unbelievable intellectualism. I'm just wondering if I squeezed the right breast, what could come out? But sexually,
a diatribe?
Let's just move on. But
hopefully not milk.
But here's the thing I would tell you, okay?
Yes.
And the Reagan plaque said, you can get anywhere you want in life as long as you don't care who gets the credit. Trump's not like that. There are no co-stars in Trump's orbit.
And that man takes credit for things that he actually has absolutely nothing to do with.
No,
so not only does he take credit for what he does, but he takes credit for stuff that people that have nothing to do with him.
So let me go around the table here then. So are people getting Trump fatigued? I can't say they are.
1,000%.
Even smart people are like, okay, this is gone too far now.
Even people that were like forever Trump are like, I can't. I got to take a break. I got to go.
So we have a forever Trumper calling me 11:30 last night. Can't say his name because it's not fair to him.
No.
Unbelievable Trump fatigue. He's locked in. He doesn't know what to do, but he's no mas. Can't take it anymore. You've got people inside the cabinet that are like, how do I get off the ship? Is there any way out of the ship? And then they realize if they leave the cabinet, they can't leave the cabinet, because then there's nobody to replace them and they have a duty to country. So I don't know. Is anybody pointing this out to him? or, you know, he's tweeting about Kevin O'Leary and Jim Cramer today. I think they're smart guys, but they are ridiculously wrong on trade. Okay.
I agree.
Our colleague, Andy Bozard, who was my first partner when I left Goldman Sachs, and your ex-wife was one of my partners at that company. We see this thing as classically trained capital allocators and analysts. What he's doing in the trade situation is an unmitigated disaster because he's creating three things that the capital markets don't like: unintended consequences, lack of predictability in strategy, and an unforeseen outcome. Okay, all three things Bill Clinton would never do, even George Bush would never do. Okay, and so he's doing that. I don't know why he's doing that. But, you know, he's doing,
you know, we call
it,
that in now, Yiddish, mishigas. Okay. It's craziness.
So now we're sitting here, and you've got the entire world upside down, and you've got the supply chain frozen, and you've got growth now slowing, and he's going to ruin the economic miracle that he created. So, I don't know. Whatever. He can do whatever he wants. God bless him. In some ways, I'm very frustrated by it because he had the opportunity to do things in an amazing way. But I just want to tie up the gun thing, go back to that a second, and then turn it over to my wife because she has some questions for
you. Is this a new thing with Keto? You stand for the podcast?
I have to stand right now.
Should we get you one of
those? He's been placing his
desks?
Hands in a lot more questionable places than your breasts, too.
Oh, no.
No, I've been adjusting
nobody
my pants.
Okay, you're getting your hands in your...
Hey, Tal, my pants are finally fitting.
Oh, I see. So your pants are fitting.
My pants are fitting from all the Keto.
Do you have an Italian tailor?
I do. This is a Armani suit. Yeah.
Okay. I've heard of Mr. Giorgio Armani.
It's a rented suit. I got to bring it back at 5 p.m. But let's not
I thought he
that.
Only wore custom suits let's with the beautiful linings that I remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a custom Brioni.
No, it's a custom Armani.
It's a Giorgio Armani.
Giorgio himself cut it.
It's a lovely garment.
All right. But anyway, here's what I would say.
Well,
shut up.
Can I say something?
The gun lobby is toasted. You're going to get a gun control law. Go ahead. Now you can say whatever you want.
No, I was going to say that Neil just sent out something on Instagram and I didn't make the story, so maybe he doesn't like my outfit.
What did you send that on Instagram?
It was just you and Rob.
Oh, the story?
The two
BBs. You know what?
I think you look great.
Thank you.
I have a radio face and Anthony's very pretty, but you're beautiful.
Thank you, Rob. So okay, now I feel better. You don't have to
put
me in.
I have a tattoo on my ass that says exit only. So just go easy on me, okay, Rob? Just go easy.
My mother used to have a crush on him, and Mom, if you're in heaven and looking down on this stud, you don't like him anymore.
She did.
Yes. Oh, she's like, he's so beautiful.
Oh my God, yeah. That's so hilarious.
Shirley Taub had a massive crush on...
When did she pass away? You don't even tell me this.
It was quite a long time ago.
Anthony.
Oh my God, I would have flirted with her left and right, nonstop.
I believe you sent a lovely basket of flowers, Anthony, of course, did.
I didn't even... I'm terribly...
He's always the first horrified. And the biggest, really, a lovely gift,
big.
Yes.
Yeah, he does that big. He does births and deaths big.
Yeah, you got to move quickly on births and deaths because you let people know that you love them.
My mother had a massive crush on him. He came to our apartment once and she was like, "Oh my God. What a beautiful man."
That is so funny. Oh my God. Okay.
Okay, can we talk more about
me while
we're doing this? Or?
She was quelling over him. He was so cute.
I'm quelling. Oi, this Anthony Scaramucci. Okay. Back to the serious stuff.
All right, I'm going to stay on keto.
I digress.
What is the skin product that I use? Go ahead, baby. You had to say something. You wanted to say something.
No, I wanted to say how Neil dissed me and didn't put me in the story. So I was wondering if maybe he didn't like my...
Okay, don't blame me for the digression. Where are we going? Let's get back on track.
Let's go back to you. You've got this amazing life. You've interviewed celebrities. You write about things. You are a thriller expert.
Mm.
I want to talk about some of your favorite books, but I want to go first to all-time favorite person that you've ever interviewed and why.
Well, next to Anthony Scaramucci, I like Tony Robbins very much, and there have been so many.
Yeah, Tony Robbins is awesome.
He was great.
I love Tony. Why do you love
him? He kept banging on the table so loud that the entire studio was shaking, and it sounded like Thor's hammer. Emulsioner, how do you pronounce that, Anthony? Yeah. He probably knows. Actually, I was talking to Neil in the green room while we were feasting on the caviar and shrimp about... I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Uncle Gary Vicon. He's one of the foremost expert in the world of art forgeries. And I'd gotten his book. I hadn't read the whole thing, but it's a guy who grew up in a small town in Minnesota with a population of like 200 people, and he's probably about my age, in his early 60s. He's not as fit or as handsome as I am, but he's a very good-looking man. Anyway, he somehow got interested in art. He was reading like magazines like National Geographic, and he said, I want to get into art and culture, and he ended up running Baltimore's top museum, which I'm at a loss to name it, but he's become this foremost expert on forgeries. And he started explaining to me, walk through the Metropolitan Museum of Art, a lot of the things you're going to see on the wall are forged.
Stop.
Yes. And one of these things where
that's
you think
fascinating.
The person that comes on the show is going to be like a throwaway interview. Okay, I got to fill 20 minutes. And the guy takes up almost the whole show. Yeah, yeah. It was great.
That's like a diamond in the rough.
So you don't know. And there are other times where you get one of your heroes to come on
and they fall flat.
Don't say much. Yeah. And it's like you got to stab them to get a couple of words out. Not every guest is like Anthony Scaramucci, where he can talk just about anything. He can. He can discuss any subject. In fact,
Rob, I'm going to need to put a pin in his head after this.
After Anthony was on my show once, he started quoting. He was quoting books by Steve Berry.
Distended or extended?
Well, my belly was distended before the keto, but now we're doing extended.
I think he's stroking because of the keto.
Steve Berry was a guest on my show, best-selling author, and when I told that to Anthony, Anthony started naming all of his books. And then a couple days later, I get a FedEx box at my apartment of all of Steve's books and all kinds of memorabilia, all signed, not to Rob, to Anthony. Hey, please get this to Anthony Scaramucci. Yeah.
He reads a lot. It's for real.
Oh, Steve Berry is a legend because he has great thrillers, but he also understands history. And I have never read a Steve Berry book, where I haven't learned something. The discussion between fictitious discussion between Andrew Carnegie and Franklin Roosevelt, or the discussion of the Mormon religion, or any of the different things that I've read in his books. I find the books to be fascinating. What about Brad Thor? Do you read his books?
I do. I don't know if he was ever a guest on the show, but we're nerding out.
Brad Thor, that's like candy. That's like
I'd love to read.
Anthony loves Daniel De Silva.
Daniel De Silva is good. I'm reading a really good book right now by David Baldacci.
Oh, that's he's
Memory
great.
Man, the Memory Man.
Oh, now I gotta pull it out of my man purse. One Good Deed by David Baldacci.
Is it new?
Number one New York Times best-selling author. Yes.
Oh yeah, that just came out. I saw that in the airport. All right, so I gotta read that.
All right, hilarious.
So let me ask you a question. Yes.
Oh, wait, I want to ask him a question.
Go ahead. You
please.
Ask the question. Go ahead.
Because nobody ever talks to me normally.
The beautiful Deirdre.
My question. Kids don't anymore.
No, so I want. Oh.
Occasionally.
I'll have my kids come over.
Please, yes. Okay. I'd love to babysit.
Oh, please. One of them jumped in the pool yesterday without us looking the two.
Who's the one that gives the eyes that does that?
Oh, yeah. That's,
the evil
that's,
eye.
That's James, the two-year-old.
I love that. That's what in Italian that's unlike the Malocchio.
Yeah, he gives the Malocchio to everybody.
He gives the Malocchio.
He's no joke. But
yes,
so I was going to ask you a question about, so you're a pretty common sense, down the middle
yes.
kind of guy. So do you get a lot of backlash? Because I am, and I get a lot of backlash.
Yeah, I get attacked by both sides.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
So it's like people think there's something wrong with you if you're not extreme.
Yeah, I made a joke last week during the debates on Twitter that I thought was pretty funny. I said that after Bernie destroys the 1%, who's going to pay for everything free? And the next morning, I started getting bombarded by all of my left-leaning friends.
Oh, my God, they come out of the woods.
Yeah, and I won't name exactly who, but a very well-known actor who I really like, and we're Twitter friends, said that I was gaslighting America. I don't think that that's true. I just wanted to be funny about it. And Bernie does want to give away everything for free.
Except his stuff.
He demonizes the wealthy. Demonizes people like Anthony, and I think that Anthony Scaramucci should give me all of his money.
Yeah.
Then I could buy another vacation house.
Well, see, that's
no
the thing.
No underwear, no thong.
Listen, I said the same thing. Ironically, I tweeted something about Bernie Sanders. I said he was a hypocrite because he wants to give away everybody's money but his own. And I woke up the next morning, and it was like I had said, I don't know what I had said. I don't even want to go there, but like, attacked. I'm like, oh my God, it wasn't that big of a deal. But being in the middle is like a thing that's it's such a unique place to be because everybody hates you.
Well, what's funny is I was thinking back to One of my old college professors, who I actually had on my radio show, Professor Marty Brownstein, now retired from Ithaca College, and he worked in Congress before he became a professor of political science. So he had a better perspective on the real world. He wasn't an Ivory Tower kind of professor.
Right.
And I remember the first day of my first political science class in college, and I got a political science degree, or politics as we called it, at Ithaca College, where Bob Iger went. So it's a good school.
Okay.
And not everybody is as successful as Mr. Iger. But anyway, Marty said, who's the ultimate politician? Monty Hall. Because he was the host of Let's Make a Deal. And we seem to have forgotten that we have a system carefully built and structured and orchestrated on making deals and on compromise. And now we have ideologues on both sides who refuse to compromise on anything. So how is government going to function, Mr. Anthony Scaramucci?
Well, let's just stop and call it for what it is, though. They do that for business reasons, right? It is a business model for these people, a.k.a. the swamp. And so what happens is, I can't agree with Trump on anything. I'm going to send out a form letter to ask you for $5. I hate Trump. I demonize Trump. Here's the form letter. Send me the $5. I can't agree with AOC or Pelosi on anything. They're demons. Send me $5. I'm Donald J. Trump. And this is what they do. And so they can't agree with each other, because what they did was they gerrymandered all the enemies out of the district, and they're sitting hard right or hard left in their respective zones. So what you could do, and remember this, we have not had a constitutional amendment since the 1960s. This is the longest period of time in U.S. history without a constitutional amendment. But if we had one constitutional amendment that said, okay, mandatory voting, just like they do in Australia, you're 21, you have an obligation to vote, you don't vote, it's a $5,000 fine, you'll get voter participation close to 100%, and then all of a sudden, normal people will have to show up at the voting booth and they'll vote normal policies, and they will liquidate and dilute the extremes on both sides. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
That's a good idea.
I haven't heard that one before. I like that.
That's a good idea.
You want another addendum to that Constitution?
Yes,
amendment?
Please.
It's very important as well, and a lot of people won't like this, and they'll light me up and yell at me.
Yeah.
You need a national service movement. It doesn't have to be the military. But like the state of Israel and other places around the world, you got to serve 18 to 24 months doing something for the government to live in this great country. And let me tell you what will happen. People from disparate parts of the country will recognize that they have more in common with each other than that what separates them. And one of the greatest things that happened to the United States at the end of the Second World War was mostly men. That's just the facts. But what happened was,
he's looking at me like I'm going to be offended or something.
No, not that you're going to be offended, but I mean, you know, there's people are like triggered, political correct people. Not you, but I mean, we're probably talking to some of them on this podcast. But what ends up happening is the entire Congress, 85% of them were in the military. They had shared wartime experience. If you were in North Dakota, you may have been in the same battalion as somebody in Florida or Manhattan Island. And so what happened was, you conjoined and you bonded and you got things done and you compromised. You did what Monty Hall said. So these people absolutely suck. I've never met people like this in my life. I thought that they sucked, but then I said, well, they got to be people, so they can't really suck that badly. Then I went down to Washington. I got my 11-day PhD in Washington scumbaggery. And I can tell you definitively that these are amoral people, and these are people that suck. And so unless you have a movement to root out and get rid of these people, we're in a lot of trouble, because you've got deficits mounting, infrastructure crumbling, education K through 12 crumbling, no industrial policy. And, you know, they're debating whether China's a strong economy or a weak economy.
China.
I take the middle part of it. I say that it's a little strong and it's a little weak, but let me tell you what they do have. Grit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They starve 60 million people in China. They don't care. They'll hold out, and they don't like losing face. So this could be a protracted nightmare for the U.S., for the globe, and it was totally unnecessary. You want to hear how you could have done the tariffs? I'll give you 10
yes,
seconds.
Yes, please.
On it.
I'm learning a lot here.
Mr. President, here's what we're going to do. We're going to team up with the Europeans. That's 46% of the world's GDP, 650 million people. They have the same grievances that we have with the Chinese. Let's team up and we'll collectively bargain the Chinese. If that doesn't work, we'll signal to the business communities in Europe and United States a graduated tariff schedule that is very predictable for our nation's business leaders, large and small. So here's what we're going to do. China's not budging. No problem. We're going to excise you from the global markets, China. You guys go move into your own communities. And you're going to have a 2% increase in tariffs every 3 months for the first year, a 3% increase in tariffs every 3 months for the second year. And we'll get ourselves up. But now this sort of graduation and this predictability would allow business leaders, large and small, to allocate capital propitiously and to plan what's going to happen to their supply chain. But if you're doing tariff roulette, where one night on Twitter you're saying we're going to hit the Mexicans, and another night you're saying we're going to double up on the Chinese, people have no idea what's going to happen. And that lack of predictability is causing commotion in the markets and a slowdown in investment capital.
Well, what would Donald Trump say to all that? You lost me at propitiously?
No, Donald Trump would say that I'm a weenie and that I'm a big baby. And
don't be rude.
All I care about is the my stock market portfolio, and he has to put a hurt on these people to save America. And the trading imbalances have lasted for too long, and this is the way we got to do it.
Why is he so completely intractable about this? Well, I guess he's completely intractable about everything, but does anybody try to speak to him as a voice of reason that could possibly get through to him in this regard?
Well, I don't think he really listens.
No, he doesn't listen to anybody.
You could talk to him until you're blue in the face, but I think he's like, wow, sounds like Charlie
Brown. Yeah, his attitude is, I'm 73 years old. I was a reality television star, a business mogul, a billionaire. I've had businesses all over. I've crashed and burned and rose again. I went from being a reality television star to the American presidency in 17 months, slayed all these people. What could you possibly tell me that I could learn from? And the answer is, in my mind, nothing. I have a very big, good brain, and it's a very stable, genius-like brain. And so what could you possibly tell me?
I'm an extremely stable genius.
Yeah. So
how does he feel about the keto diet?
Oh, well, clearly does not even know it exists.
He might be a candidate for it, actually.
Well, I think he's sexually deprived, though.
I am a young, vibrant man.
Wow, I didn't know it was this kind of show. Tell me more.
Oh, my God, he should have been here last week.
Holy cow.
I think it's a national, international tragedy. He's got no poo-tang in the last 2.5 years.
Okay, so wait a minute. I have something in common with Donald Trump. Oh, my God.
He
I'm deprived,
more
too.
Okay with it.
If he got a little bit of poo-tang, he'd be in a better mood. The same
no
way
collusion.
The same way I'm leaving this podcast and getting a bagel.
I'm deprived as well, so I can share something with Donald. We can have a camaraderie.
You don't look as deprived as Donald, though.
No. Oh, I have a wild imagination, at least.
He is a sick puppy.
Oh, we know that.
I am a sick puppy, yes, but it's okay.
Oh, my God.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right. So wait, I want to ask Rob something.
Yes.
So what made you tweet at Madonna about breakfast the other day or
something? Oh, you know, was that I've just had random? This thing with Madonna for, I really actually like her because when I was doing my show for ABC called Where's the Party many years ago, this is before emails, I sent Madonna a fax. asking her to be on a live television show on ABC. And I said that Jesus, Muhammad, and Buddha are unavailable on Labor Day. You immediately sprang to mind. The president of ABC told me that you'll never appear on my show. So since he's wrong about everything else, I expect to hear from you immediately. And I, of course, got a pretty quick response to that. And then we had some back and forth, and I read the notes on the air, and it was pretty funny. But my father's business partner at the time had a son who had autism, and he loved Madonna, and I told her about it, and she sent him so many nice things and autographed albums, and I just found her to be a real mensch, and I got a kick out of her.
That's surprising. And I thought she was like the ice queen of the century.
I don't. She has not responded to my many tweets. I'm glad you've noticed them. I even tweeted to the tweet of God and said, could you check on Madonna, because they think she's upset. I offered to take her to lunch last week. She hasn't responded. I'm a little upset with her.
Maybe,
and she's Jewish. I thought you were. So
I know.
I'm right about
everyone
that.
Wait, isn't she also Italian? And people are thinking she's Ciccone. Jewish?
She has Ciccone, but she's taken on the Jewish religion, and she goes to the Kabbalah Center
across the street from
the Seafire Grill, where Stephen Hawking used to eat. And I did commercials for them and said, if the smartest man in the world eats at your restaurant, the food must be good.
They have an excellent
crab cake there, Anthony. That would probably really settle your stomach. Not as good as the Hunt and Fish Clubs.
Is crab cake keto, babe, or no?
No, you can't.
No, there's breadcrumbs.
Of course, it's got breadcrumbs in it. It'll satisfy you.
Okay. I'm depressed.
What?
What was that, Neil? What are you firing in there now? Neil, you want us to start talking about
ass? Neil, is he behaving like a Jadrul?
Anthony said he was ripping ass on another podcast. I don't know what that was about.
He's not paying attention to me and Deirdre. We're going to
No, totally Rob, so let me just tell you, basically.
I'm having such a good time, please.
So 15 years his junior and put me through the mill. He still ignores me. Can you imagine? This is my daily life.
I do not ignore you.
I talk to him and he's like reading these books that he's sending you. Like he reads, he's ignoring me.
Does he listen to books on tape or does he read more? Or is it a split?
Both.
Mm-hmm. If we get a couple's massage, I mean, I might as well just be by myself because he goes on Audible.
Well, what do you want me to do during the couple's massage, okay? I'm trying to suppress farting. The first thing I'm doing in a couple's massage...
No, you got to let it loose then. That's who you want to relax your stomach.
Let's just talk about what happens in a couple's massage. I've got the sphincter tightened up like it's a frog's ass. And then what am I supposed to do? Talk? There's like music playing and shit like that. So I listen to a book tape.
It depends on what kind of hippie masseuse or masseuria.
You know what bums me out about my wife?
Well, I don't like when they talk to you when you get a massage. So at least he avoids that because he has headphones.
She exposes everything though. Okay, like I fell asleep, did a little snoring, the sphincter released. And I blew a hole.
I expose everything.
It's okay. Farting is good.
I blew a hole in the sidewalls.
My testicles are a lot smaller than Jim's.
My dear friend, Dr. Jeffrey Paverman, who passed away last summer, is one of my closest friends and a successful physician. He used to say, if you watch a horse, like and one of the carriages in New York City, and they're walking down the street, they just take a dump when they have to take a dump. Right. And that's how humans used to be.
No,
and now we lock the sphincter like Anthony, and
De Blasio wants to legalize human outside public defecation.
No, he doesn't.
100%.
I prefer doing it in the smallest room in my house.
Oh, my God.
By the way,
yeah,
it's like a First Amendment right to lay cable on Fifth Avenue, apparently.
I see people shooting up now in front of the public library on 42nd Street.
That's so disturbing.
It's disgusting.
This place is turning into a dump.
He's going to be on Sean Hannity's show tonight at 9 o'clock.
Oh,
I'm taping that.
That's like pay-per-view type stuff.
That's because he's like less than 1% in the polls. Can you be minus in the polls?
Yes,
Can you be like, I'm minus 10% on de Blasio? Like, I don't even know. Anyway.
What did we call that in math class? Negative numbers?
Yeah.
Binary
Negative
something?
Integers.
So were you an English major?
I was a politics major.
Now, if you had been listening to him before.
I went to Ithaca College, where Bob Iger also went. We have the Rob Taub powder room that I donated, and then the Bob Iger gymnasium.
I asked, he was probably somebody could have been.
Anthony went to Tufts, where my daughter Sarah also attended.
Yeah. She did. Yes. You know what happens when people ask me where I went to school, and I tell them, they go, oh. And then I'm like.
Well, where did you go?
I went to University of Buffalo. And
well, it's
I'm
a
like,
very good school.
No, but the weird thing is when people say they went to University of Albany, they don't get that same reaction, and it's still a SUNY school. And I'm like, or I don't know why Buffalo, whenever I say that, people look at me like, okay, whatever. It's bizarre. Maybe I'm projecting my own insecurity.
Meantime, it's a good school.
My headphones don't work.
We have an excellent state school system in New York. It's
a good, I mean, look at what it pumped out. I'm amazing. School.
Megyn Kelly went to Albany. Maybe that's why it's getting all of the attention.
Maybe. Or my brother, Keith. My headphones.
You know, we can't all go to places like Harvard.
I couldn't afford it. It wasn't that I wasn't smart enough.
It doesn't mean that Anthony Scaramucci is better than we are.
I went to Harvard, but I couldn't afford it. I hustled the whole way. Let me ask you something,
yes.
Okay? The Democratic Socialist Convention.
Oh, did you watch those videos?
Over the gender pronoun usages. So what should we do? I think they've left out history because, like, it's his story. Wait till the feminazis get a hold of that, right? They don't even realize they're going with this and that and the other thing, and you got to say people kind or womankind.
Maybe we could say weestery.
What about his story? What are we doing
there? Turn my mic on.
I actually heard that back in the old days when I went to college, which was 40 plus years ago, that we had women who were feminists saying it should be her story. And then that died out a little bit.
It's just...
But I mean, what do you make of the whole pronoun usage thing?
I can't think.
I think it's just jibber jabber that we don't need right now. There's so many other important issues, like starving people and real problems and a madman in the White House, and we're worried about how somebody addresses us. Mass shootings.
Yeah, homelessness.
It comes down to the egoism and the self-centeredness of millennials. I see people who sign their emails now, you know, he, his, them, whatever.
I'm really not hip to this because I watched the video about this conference and I'm like, what are they talking about? Standing up saying, hi, I'm Deirdre Scaramucci, she, her. I'm like, what the fuck? What is that? And now I realize.
I would just wreck that because I would be like, hi, I'm Rob. I'd be like a Jerry Lewis thing. He, him, humphin', hey, hee, ho, hi. I don't, I'm me. What is it drawing there? Anthony's drawing like the universe or something. It's a pizza.
It's a target, a bullseye.
I know people can't see it on the podcast, but I'm visualizing for you guys what's happening right now. See, the T in the middle is Trump. See that? And the inner circle of people.
Those concentric circles.
And the outer circle are now done with Trump. Okay, I just want everyone to understand that. So, meaning the Joe Scarboroughs and the Democrats, they were done with them 6, 8, 12, 24.
Joe Scarborough helped get him elected.
I understand that, but now he's anti-Trump. But I'm saying, in other words, there's waves of anti-Trumpism. So the outer circle, that would be Democrats and never-Trumpers like Bill Kristol, Joe Scarborough, they're out here. But here's what's going on, and people should really pay attention to this, okay? The inner circle is leaving too. So what's weird is there's a middle circle. Those are the people that are showing up at the rallies. And those are the people like Jim Cramer and Kevin O'Leary on TV today that Trump's tweeting out celebration that they don't really understand what he's doing and they're praising him. They haven't got the memo that the inner circle is like, okay, how do I get off the sinking ship? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, the weird thing about this whole thing, he still may win re-election.
That's what I was about to ask you.
Because the things that he's got going for him are the Democrats. Now, there's one person that can certainly beat him. That's Donald J. Trump. But these Democrats, you got 20 of them. They're shooting at each other left and right. And I'm going to tell people this. Aggregate the 20 in terms of their fundraising. They almost match the president. And so that tells you that the fervor is there, but you are diffusing the fervor to beat the guy. And you're probably going to put up a socialist. And America's not ready for a socialist. But I just want everyone to understand, like, the guys that didn't get the memo are in the outer rim. The inner rim is done with the guy, trust me. They're completely done with the guy. They just don't know how to say it, and they don't know where to say it, and they're afraid to say it.
But isn't that the irony of our country now, that we have a man who should be the most beatable candidate of all time, And the Democratic Party has such stratification and no unification whatsoever.
They don't have a candidate that can beat them that I can see.
Calling for a utopia like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren that will lead us to dystopia. And they can't unify to beat an incompetent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's also about being self-centered.
Yes.
Even though they're older and they're not millennials, they're still all about themselves.
They're living in a bubble and a vacuum.
Yeah. Are you surprised Trump wasn't primaried by any principled Republican?
I wrote something that went kind of viral like a year ago that Romney should primary Trump, and it made so much sense. And
but he's so
I wrote
boring.
It for Newsmax.
And he can't.
Yeah, but we need somebody that's calm and boring.
No, but the fact of the matter is, we do need that. I'm not saying that we need all of this ruckus and all this hype all the time, but I'm just saying that someone of that personality, profile, is not going to be able to beat him just because of the pure mud wrestling situation that goes on with him.
I think that it's what the American public wants right now. It's like, I was asked recently on a television show on a panel. Not who my favorite candidate would be, but who do I think could beat Trump? And I immediately answered Biden, just because he's got this folksy manner. And yes, he may be too old and there may be other qualifications or disqualifications, but it's what, because Anthony was talking about, people are trumped out. I forgot the exact phraseology that you used.
Trump fatigue syndrome.
And so we need something that's just more like a calming.
I would love that.
A calming.
I think
presence.
Anthony should run for president.
Yes,
I should run for president.
Well, I mean, you'd be great. You're smart, and you're.
I think he should stay where he is.
Yeah. Trump. That was funny, right?
I could be a speechwriter, I would never have to work because he would just write all make all his own.
Oh my God! You could be a speechwriter and not do a damn thing.
Speeches extemporaneously.
Exactly.
You.
Well, let me ask you this, okay? No one's going to primary him. I couldn't run as a Democrat. How would I run as a Democrat? They wouldn't accept me because mm-hmm. of my former Trump support. So how could I run as an independent?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to run as an independent?
No, I mean,
how about mayor
never
of New
be
York?
Able to beat him, but because he's just this like fixture now. But you're smarter than him. You're hotter than him. You're nicer than him. Your stomach is growling.
That was me. I'm sorry. That came out of nowhere. I didn't even have time to hit my off button.
I just want to let you know that I never want this podcast to end. Rob Taub's mom, Mayor Soul, rest in peace, had the hots for me. And my wife right now, I think I'm going to get some sexy time later. Keep going, babe.
Can we talk about sex at some point?
Yeah. Okay, keep going. Keep going, baby.
And so I'm somebody who's been deprived for like 16 years.
Oh, we got to get some.
I had no idea.
We got to get on that.
You look nice and svelte. You're type 2 diabetes.
I'm working on it.
I thought you were like, okay. I thought you were getting some action.
Well, no. You know, it's when I'm alone with myself, okay. I don't know how far we can go on
hopefully
this show.
Hopefully his kids won't listen to this.
So they don't listen to anything I do or say.
Okay, so they'll jump
Robert,
out the window.
We yes. wrap this thing up.
Oh,
like
we're wrapped
fun
already?
Things.
Jeez, I'm having so much fun.
We have an hour.
It goes fast.
We're blasting at each other. There's a man in Belgium that has sat on a toilet for nearly 5 days in a bid to set the world record. Only thing
yeah,
I can think
he
of is
he didn't break the record. He got off the bowl.
He didn't break the record. Did he blow a gasket or like a hemorrhoid or something like that? I mean,
well,
does he have like grooves in his butt?
That's what I'm saying. I think it's a very uncomfortable thing to sit on for like 5 days. I could never do that.
He was allowed 5 minutes off every hour
to use
allow
the bathroom.
Himself to sleep.
To use
no, that's the irony of the whole thing. The thing he was on wasn't plugged in, so he had to go use the bathroom.
All right, I've got a great quote. I don't want to digress too much. But
just want to ask how long does it take you to drop a deuce?
It depends if I'm reading or not. That's where and if I'm engrossed
like
in
you're home, like me, the best deuce is when I'm like home and nobody's
five
bothering me.
5 minutes to 20 minutes usually.
5 to 20 minutes. Okay, so you've got hemorrhoids. Depends.
No, I like to read. I'm Jewish. The bathroom is an important place
right,
for us.
But I mean, you're creating a lot of pressurization of the
no,
low,
I don't.
Low
I use stool
potty?
Softeners.
Stools.
We're learning Ducalax
and bullets. I have everything.
All right. Your husband farted in his mouth?
There's a great line from a French playwright about a bad review that he received, and he said, I am in the smallest room in my house. I have your review in front of me to a playwright. Soon it will be behind me. I bet Anthony probably knows who said that. I don't.
Say it again.
I have your review in front of me. I'm in the smallest room in my house. Soon it will be behind me. He was going to wipe his butt with the bad
with
review.
The review of his play.
Some sophisticate said that. No, it was a French playwright. Something Gore Vidal would say, yes.
Yeah, that sounds like a Gore Vidal quote. But all right, so the point being is that we're a bunch of crazy people because why would somebody spend 165 hours on the ball?
I don't know. The same reason that with someone
because
would
he knows that Anthony Scaramucci would be talking about him.
And he couldn't focus at a conference and he identified as his.
He's being talked about on the Much and the Mrs. show. That's why he did
it. Is that the reason why?
He's on the Much and the Mrs. show with Rob Traub.
The Much and the Mrs. show, and this is sponsored to you
by
the
Bagels.
No, just
so you guys know, Anthony is on this new thing called Cameo. So now not only is he ignoring me for books, he's ignoring me to record these videos for random strangers. And so we're walking along and he's like, hi, Carolina. Yeah, this is the Mooch. I'm like, who the hell is he talking to? He's like recording.
I'm on Cameo.com now. I mean, you know,
I just
on.
Want to get a picture of the Malocchio kid, Sister Yolanda.
Happy birthday.
And I'm like, Cornudo, Cornudo.
I'll send it to you.
Malocchio goes like this. Cornudo is to block off the
don't horns, be man. Putting the fucking horns in my face. What are you doing?
Cornudo.
You can't do that. I mean, Italians get upset about that stuff.
I grew up with a lot of Italians.
Stop.
You're not going to send your foot soldiers to kill me tonight. I got a Hungarian ex-wife. She'll
make goulash out of you.
Twitter accounts is Charlotte Coolidge. She's asking a question here. Mm-hmm. Do you have any comments on Mexico's plan to extradite the El Paso shooter and bring a lawsuit against the seller of the gun used in the shooting? What say Mrs. Mooch?
Wait, let me read her thing because
that's
I wasn't listening.
No,
I was...
Any comments on the Mexico plan to extradite the El Paso shooter? All right, so what you're gonna have the entree or the appetizer? No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Anthony, stop measuring his waistline. He's back in the groove here.
So,
now.
Are you the entree
Dragging
or
your
the
testicles
appetizer
on the
in
floor.
My life?
I'm the dessert, baby. Let me go.
I'm the dessert.
Okay. All right. So tell us, is that okay?
Is he simulating a breast grow?
Yes, the Joe Biden. I love boobs.
And that was last week. We had. A comedian on, she had very large breast implanted boobs, and these two had a 20-minute conversation, which smart people like me and Neil, we bowed out of and listened intently.
I understand. So,
but go ahead.
Since I'm engaging.
No, but then he told me that he saw Melania's boobs without the bra.
Saw Melania's boobs. No, you asked me if I noticed her
you
nipples
are fake
exposed
news.
In the wet t-shirt contest. What did you want me to say? No, I wasn't going to say.
Do they have like wet t-shirt concerts at the White
no,
House?
No, but she just was, you know, she had
I know
the
someone else
on.
That could
she had the headlights going. What do you want me to say? I didn't notice it. Am I going to lie and say I didn't notice it? All right, but go ahead. What about
and
the
El Paso
shooter?
And then I said, I wish men had something like that, like implants, like testicle implants.
They do have
so
a penile implant that you can
stare all day at you guys' crotches.
They do
my
have implants.
Are a lot smaller than
I names. Haven't gotten one, but I do know about these things.
Wait. Well,
we had a guy on 3 weeks ago
who
said that
like
if you
Austin
have large
Powers.
Balls, you're promiscuous. So I've admitted to everyone my testicles are like green peas. Okay, but let's go to the El Paso shooter.
That's an image that I want to just exit from my brain. And
okay, especially if you haven't had sex recently. I don't want you thinking about that while
you
you're,
can't unsee
while
that.
While you're doing things to yourself. Like
God,
nasty.
Oh my dear.
Don't
you
be
know,
thinking about
what,
my green peas.
When I was growing up, Anthony, I'm not going to think about you. When I was growing up, they used to tell us that if you wanted to perform effectively
exit
and not
only.
Finish too quickly, you should think about baseball. And then one
night
Anthony
thinks about Mr. Met.
I said, I'll think
Mr.
about
Met
baseball. I thought of Lenny Dykstra, and I've never been able to get excited again.
Oh, my God. Key, it ruined it for
one
you.
One of the key things for my staying power is thinking about Mr.
Oh, jeez. No. Turn off my headphones.
I think of Mr. Met taking a crap, and it, like, for some reason, it calms everything down.
Oh, right, I would say so. That would
you know what's weird for me? That he's, like, around me, on top of me, thinking about Mr. Met taking a crap or
no,
something.
No, I'm not. I'm over that. That was, like, a teenage thing.
Where are his hands right now?
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was a teenage thing when you had a hair trigger back then. Let's go back to the El Paso shooter.
That's one commonality that we all shared.
Oh, okay.
Can you answer Charlotte Coolidge's question? Do you have any comments on the Mexicans' plan to extradite the El Paso shooter?
I don't have any comments on it because are they really going to do that?
Well, I mean, there's a case being made that they have an extradition treaty with the United States, and you know, obviously the United States wants to prosecute him, and he could be brought back to Mexico for charges. And so I don't think the Department of Justice or the powers that be in Texas are going to allow that.
See, but these are the things that I, when people say, or even the president says, like, oh, we need to act quickly and swiftly and death penalty and all this stuff. These people don't care. They don't care if they die. It's just like the people that flew the plane into the buildings. They don't give a shit. So you're just doing something that doesn't even matter or resonate with them. Oh, I'm gonna kill you. Are you gonna have the death sentence? I don't care. I'm still gonna do it because they want to do it.
It's not a deterrent.
It's not a deterrent. You know what's more of a deterrent? Which, I mean, I personally think
the keto diet.
Keto. But also not to give the person any fame or notoriety. Don't put their picture anywhere. Don't put their name anywhere. And then they won't do it.
Like, that's a big ask in this media crazed society we live in.
New Zealand has moved for that.
New Zealand, you still don't know who committed that crime.
New Zealand geographically? And what's their population? Right. Again, we're comparing apples and oranges to this country.
You're 1,000% right. Point taken. And so you're 1,000% right.
Well, anyway, do you have any thoughts on that extradition and lawsuit?
I just don't think it's going to happen. You know?
No,
that's what I'm saying. I don't have any opinion because I don't think it's real.
But the Texas law and order in Texas being what it is, I just think it's very unlikely for it to happen. So, all right. Well, we're going to wrap up here in a second, but before we do, a couple more questions from me, if you don't mind. The best book of the summer.
I already reviewed it. It's A Dangerous Man by Robert Crace, and it's released today on
August 6th. Is that book about Anthony?
And it's out today,
Good. In fact, my ex-wife, Yolanda, who I still love dearly, and we spend more time together than we were married, couldn't put it down.
I need to know, how does that work? So do you guys...
We don't live under the same roof, and we don't really, you know... I'm not going to get into the details.
Money doesn't
details.
Have sex with her anymore.
Okay, but we're good
pals. Was the sex good with her when you had it, though? I'm just curious, because Yolanda's going to be
listening.
Talk about
sex at some point?
Yolanda's going to be listening to this podcast. I'm so afraid of her. I've never been more frightened of another human being.
Was the sex good with her when you were having sex
Wonderful.
With her? Okay, oops, that was like a disingenuous,
fireworks going off.
That was like a Trumpian
the
statement.
Best.
Jesus.
It was so good, Anthony. It was the best in the world.
Wait, so I'm just trying to... I'm just like fascinated by your relationship with her. I always have been. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like wondering, like, if this ever doesn't work, could we just be like every day we'll see each other, but we just don't live
together? Yolanda and I talk like five times a day. Mm-hmm. I called her. I was on the way into the lobby here. I'm like, yeah, I'm going in to see Anthony and Deirdre. She's like, okay, say hi to him. I didn't get to go to that dinner at Casa Lever last time you went. She's always very jealous about stuff like that. Do you remember when John McEnroe yelled at you?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
We were too loud. So when John McEnroe tells you like to keep the noise
John
down.
John McEnroe out of all people?
You were there? You don't even remember?
I was there?
He stuck his head around.
Yes, you don't remember?
He stuck his head around from the other
this
booth.
This is like in 2011.
Keep the noise down.
He remembers everything. He's got a steel trap. It was 2011.
I do.
John McEnroe was like, keep the noise down. I'm like, we just got yelled at by John McEnroe. It's sort of weird.
He's telling us about decorum. Think of the absurdity.
And then you picture him yelling at an umpire.
I totally remember that. I was like,
throwing his
like,
stuff around.
I was mildly embarrassed, and then I got over it. Okay, so you trying to get rid of me? You trying to Yolanda eyes me? Yolanda Vega eyes me?
No, I was just saying if like you lose
are
your mind again.
Are we gonna have collusion
something?
Later? That's all I really care about right now. You look great. I just want to
no collusion.
Yes, we're home without our kids tonight.
We're gonna have some collusion.
Who's babysitting the kids?
My mom.
Oh, okay. Aunt Yolanda.
And our baby nurse.
Not that
Stacey.
She's listening, but a
send
big
those
shout
kids
out to
me and Yolanda for
Alessi.
A weekend.
We're going to her 40th birthday party tonight.
Who? Oh, Christina
Alessi.
Those kids would come back after a weekend with Yolanda. They'd be like, please, Mommy, Daddy, we'll do whatever you say.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
like she made us work and we had to
Hungarian
clean.
Hungarian
Oh, yeah.
Hungarian
He really
Drill
cannot
Sergeant.
Talk, just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's
maybe
in
stroking.
Ketosis state.
Oh, you
it's
know
not
what
really
happened?
Working effectively.
You
want to
know what happened? Okay, I was having a keto-based breakfast this morning and I bit my tongue and that's why I'm having a little trouble moving it around in my mouth.
Oh, really?
Okay, that's what happened. Yeah,
he's heading towards something sexual there.
Are
right yeah.
you I'm, trying to say
I'm
now
tonguely
that there was
disabled
collusion?
Right now, and since you guys are not as politically correct as me, you're making fun of the tongue handicapped. It's fine.
Blown.
All right. but I'm I wasn't prepared for it.
It was going to be this kind of show. I would have brought my A game.
Funny, right? No, you have to come back, Rob. You're hilarious.
I
want to
come back. I had such a good time.
Robert, let me say this.
This is hysterical.
I'm very lonely, you know.
Let me say this.
Don't have a lot of friends.
Maybe you'll meet like your future mate's listening.
Do you have a sister?
I don't. I have brothers. I know.
Are they cute? Are they as pretty as Anthony?
No.
Okay.
They're different, more rugged. He's more, you know.
No, I go for the more feminine type.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I probably don't like face.
I like women, okay?
Anthony has a perfect nose and chiseled cheeks and everything like that. The best was, I'll never forget this, when our five-year-old son was like two, he just started learning to talk. He had an obsession with Superman. He had this book, and it was Superman's face, and it was like perfectly chiseled and everything, and he was so, you know, innocent and everything. And he used to say, "That's Daddy." And I would say, yeah.
I'm having the best podcast ever. Neil, listen to me. Next week, you're playing this podcast.
You're doing well.
I have so many good Anthony stories. We could do like a best of. I could tell you so many great stories about him.
We're going to do that.
Yeah. Rob, but we're living life to full. So that is
the end of the year, we're going to
have
that.
Have a good time.
Yes.
Have a good time.
For the end of the year, we're going to have a best of Anthony stories.
We should bring Yolanda on the show, and she could tell some stories about it.
Yolanda was at war with me for like 18 months. Remember that?
Yeah, but so, you know, you build bridges, too, after you burn them down.
No, I don't care. I don't hold any grudges. I mean, Kelly fired me in the White House. We're hanging out together.
Even I'm afraid of Yolanda. When I was running...
No, she was mad at me for like 18 months.
Investor relations at Skybridge, when she would call about her account, I was like, holy shit, I used to put somebody else on the phone.
Did she get tough with you?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But then I warmed her up. She likes me now. But
yeah, it's not a conversation, it's an interrogation.
It is, it was.
Where are you going? What are you doing?
This podcast go into the ether. I just want to give a shout out to Yolanda Taurasi. Your ex-husband said the sex with you was wonderful. Okay, just want to make sure that Annie Bozart, if you're listening to this, I know you have a barf bag somewhere near your Rolls Royce, and you're just letting the Grey Poupon go right now into that barf bag. But Yolanda, the sex with you was wonderful.
Something shoots out of your vagina, you're going to worry about it.
And we're going to leave it at that. And we say thank you to the very handsome and rugged looking Rob Taub.
All right, thank you so much. I really had a great
God
time.
God bless. Mooching
amazing.
The misses out.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday, which means a lot of different things. See you next Tuesday. The signature departure from Mooching the Misses.
Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.